program for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Well, not really Adam Carolla. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Carolla's in New York City, and in his stead, Mark Hoppus, Blink-182. Mark,
hello, world.
Welcome.
I have a really big dick.
I imagine you do, because we've been playing that drop for about 10 years. How's that go again, Anderson?
I have a really big dick.
That's you.
Ah, the memories.
Awesome. Well, Mark and I, well, for me anyway, closest thing I've ever had to homosexual experience.
That's right.
With Mark.
Yeah, the last time that we saw each other, both you and I were getting our hair washed at a hair salon here in L.A.
Lying next to each other.
Yeah, last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was more awkward than when you try and talk to a guy when you're standing next to him at the urinal.
Way worse. I'd much rather we've been peeing next to each other.
Yeah.
That has a certain manly quality to it.
Yeah, getting our hair washed next to one another, I didn't know like where we're supposed to look or where my hands were supposed to be. It was really awkward.
Deal with the fact that I am gay.
You had him on your junk the whole time. I didn't quite know what that meant, but whatever.
It was supposed to be a compliment.
I guess so. So, again, the phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mark's going to be my co-host tonight. He's got a new band with Travis called Plus 44. You guys are in the studio with that now?
Yes, we are.
That's all you can tell us?
Actually, Travis and I just bought a studio, and we're fixing up the studio and going to be recording probably in about a week or two.
So you haven't started recording yet.
We've been demoing for the past, 6 months in Travis's basement. Actually, in my dining room for a long time, we were demoing.
My wife must have loved that.
Yeah, it was great. She was really happy to have just a lot of equipment sitting in our dining room for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Just waiting for your three-year-old to get electrocuted. It's a beautiful thing.
It's great. My kid loves the studio. It's really cool. When we were recording the last Blink album, he was in the studio all the time, and he really thinks it's a cool thing to go to the studio, so it's rad.
Oh, really? That's nice. Now, your wife has a new clothing line called Childish Clothing.
Yes, she does indeed.
This guy who was little known fact about Mark. She was the talent booker for Loveline, the TV show.
Yes, she was.
And that's how you guys met, right?
Yeah, actually, I met her. She used to work at MTV, and I met her. We did Loveline. I met her again in the Bahamas when we were there playing a show. And then I actually started hanging out with her when we were shooting the All the Small Things video here in Los Angeles. Yeah.
She just happened to be in the Bahamas.
She just happened to be in the Bahamas, yeah. She kept booking us on all these shows, and afterwards I come to find out that she really just really needed to have me and just kept booking us until I noticed her.
Well, she mentioned it to me that when you showed up on our show.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I remember that. I was thinking, wow, this is going to be it. I'm going to be right here when this happens.
No, she's really busy with her clothing company, and that's going great for her, and she's rad.
And then Blink has the greatest hits that we're going to hear from a song from that called Not Now in a few minutes. And two of those songs have never been released before, and we're going to hear one of them. But for now, let us go to the phone, shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
All right, here we go. This is Jessica, who is 16. Whoops. Jessica?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
You're on with Mark Hoppus from Blink 182.
Oh, hi. I'm
Hi, Jessica. How you doing?
Good times.
I'm okay. What?
And what's going on?
First of all, I'd just like to say that I'm gay, and I've only... When I have sex, I was with somebody for a year and a half, and whenever she would go down on me, it just would happen too fast. I would come too fast, and it was kind of aggravating because I just wanted it to last longer, and I was wondering if there was any way that I could make it last longer, but still, come.
Mark, you've had lots of lesbian experiences.
Hey, I'm really not the one to ask about lasting longer. I'm sorry. I wish I had.
We're learning a thing or two about Mark. Right?
Yeah, man. When I was 16, I didn't even have sex yet.
She's 16 and the committed lesbian now.
Wow.
All right. Well, Jessica, how about a second round?
Yeah, I mean it's fast.
Well,
I mean it'll maybe a minute to 4 minutes, and that's how fast it takes. I mean, it doesn't take very long at all.
But maybe you're one of these multi-orgasmic people. You just can have one right after the other until exhaustion.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I've had, multiple orgasms in a short amount of time, but I just, I wish it would just last longer, and I feel uncomfortable.
I think, A, you have to work with your partner on that one if you want to try to have just a single large orgasm. But if you why not go with the way your biology is sort of configured, which is frequent, you know, I mean, people would die for this.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of women have difficulty having orgasms. You're someone that could probably have 20 or 30 and, you know, and just one in, right after the other.
You need to think of it as a blessing.
A mitzvah.
What's that?
A mitzvah.
A mitzvah?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I'm learning a lot about the Jewish religion over the last, actually, couple weeks.
Yeah, this is a holiday.
Yeah, this is a holiday.
Right now.
Yeah.
Sarah, 17.
Hi. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great.
Good. All right. I have a question about sour semen.
Nice.
Yeah, classy. okay, well, here's the story. Me and my boyfriend, when we have sex, I'm on birth control, but we don't use a condom, but so I don't feel comfortable with him ejaculating inside me, so instead he pulls out right before, and, you
hold
know,
on a second.
I...
Hold on. You're on contraceptive pills?
Yes. No, I'm on the patch, orthoevra.
On the patch. So you don't need to use condoms?
All right, yeah, I don't. We usually do, but we just didn't have any left, so...
Why are you concerned? You're on the pill. Why are you concerned about this?
No, I'm concerned about the taste of... his semen.
I see. So that's why you don't want to be exposed to semen. You're worried he's got an STD or something.
Yeah, but because this never happened before. Okay. So that's that same night. It was about like the fourth time that I had to give him oral. And
what?
What?
Fourth time.
Yeah, like he came three times before that.
What's up with all these people that can have multiple sexual experiences in one night?
17.
I know.
It's just that amazing.
You know what Mark was doing at 17?
Yeah, at 17, I was, not experiencing things four times in an evening, that's for sure.
Not with somebody else.
Yeah.
but, yeah, so the fourth time, it just tasted, you know, it tasted like a bad cucumber, you know? And I was just like, wow, that was interesting. Like, that was bad. But, yeah, I was just wondering if that... mentioned that was the first time it's ever tasted bad, like out of the I don't know how many times that,
well, that,
you know,
I mean, could it be because you're really at that point after four times you're scraping the bottom of the barrel? I mean, that's not
like,
you know,
he said it must have been like the end of the, you know, like that must have been the bottom of the tank or something, and I was just like, yeah, I guess, and I didn't really think anything of it, but I wasn't sure because it, you know, I never,
it doesn't there can be all kinds of funky tastes, it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Okay.
It doesn't not mean anything by the same token. If he's concerned that he has something, if he has a discharge or hurts when he pees, that sort of thing, that ought to be looked into. Smell is more a thing, I'd say, than taste. If there's a foul smell, that's more a sign of infection than taste.
Okay, then I think it's probably okay. But can I say something quick on behalf? I know Adam's not here, but I think I did something I think he'd be proud of.
Okay.
You know,
I'm scared.
I hold my breath.
No. You know how he hates red left turn arrows?
Yes.
Well, I went through one just for him, and it was pretty cool because it was super long, and everyone behind me followed. So.
Ooh, well done, Sarah. Renegade.
I know.
Civil disobedience.
Like, I was like, this is for Adam, and it was wonderful.
Just
so.
Sorry you didn't get your license suspended and pulled over.
I was making sure there's no cops anywhere, and I was just
okay.
Like,
you're behaving like a responsible adult, even though you're 17.
Hey, I got a question about...
the fact that Adam is encouraging this in young people is really bothering her. You got a question about what?
Is it true that if you eat certain types of fruits or certain type of food, it changes the taste of the...
Not that I've ever seen substantiated.
Really?
I really have grave doubt about that whole thing.
All right.
In fact, so much so, we actually, years back on this show, we had people test it.
Oh, really?
And they could not, the taste test could not be determined.
How did you find volunteers for this?
It's Loveline.
Okay.
And think about it. If you ate marshmallows and strawberries and whipped cream for 3 days, your poo going to taste any, you know, smell or be any different? Really?
Probably not.
You only make things worse. You can't make things better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Things that come out of your... Basically, it's like trying to get something that come out of your pancreas differently.
Right.
These are exocrine glands. They're not some sort of tube that goes from your gut. And you know, people get very confused about stuff that's absorbed into your system, where it goes, what happens to it, how it gets into other parts of your body.
But when you eat garlic, you smell like garlic afterwards.
It's mostly it's in your mouth.
Oh,
like,
really?
The smell is what's coming out of your enteral elementary tract.
I thought it came out of your sweat glands.
That's what people think.
And all these myths.
And, well, it's got to be something. You're right. There's stuff that has to get, could get into your exocrine sweat glands somehow, but it's not as though it's like I mean, how does it get there? These are specialized glands that are out inside your body. That just doesn't make sense. All right, let's get a question from Mark. It's Jen, 19. Jen?
Jen.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
You're talking to Mark from Blink-182.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
Can you see my question?
No, you can't see it. Go.
Out of battery. Okay, so I was going to ask about the I Miss You video.
Yeah.
And the two, quote, girls in that mm-hmm. video.
The two, there's a lot of girls in that video.
No, I think you know which ones I'm talking about, Mark. Because I know it was you and Tom.
The girls in the video were me and Tom?
Yes, they were. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Or the fact that you changed. Well, it's just a very interesting internet rumor, and you can pretty much prove it with pictures.
Well, really? set it straight.
There's two people kissing in the video.
are you and Travis? Are you and more? You and him and Tom?
Yeah. Another thing.
Hang on a second. Let him set it straight. Go ahead.
I'd like to go on record as saying that that's not true, but I find it fascinating. There's a lot of cool things that happen like this that that we actually have incorporated into our band.
Untitled CD. That's
what's that?
No coincidence whatsoever. And also the fact that you, in the song All of This, you change it to he instead of she.
Change. What's the lyric? I'm sorry,
Jen. You are a very paranoid person. These guys are doing out making music, just trying to sell some songs.
I love that.
No cryptic.
Yeah,
but listen, you can let it go. Let it go. Don't spend your time on this. It's not healthy thinking to be obsessing about stuff like
but
that.
But what I'm interested. What was the logic on the Untitled CD?
It's just like the lyrics to it. They're very paranoid.
Yeah.
On All of This. But we didn't write the lyrics to All of This. Those were lyrics written by...
It's not just the lyrics to that.
Oh, okay.
It's like, the song Go.
Oh, okay.
Jen, are you on any medication or anything?
No, it's kind of like, a few of my friends, you know, Blink fans, we've kind of just noticed things.
All right, they tell them, Mark...
Yeah, no, it wasn't me and Tom in the video, and,
Oh, no. It's great. I have a question about that. Are you guys talking?
I haven't spoken with Tom in a long time.
Good enough.
But you know what's interesting is there was something there was a theory that was started online because we had this demo tape that had this shape on it that kind of looked like an A, and then the next album was called The Buddha Record, and then after that it was Cheshire Cat, and then Dude Ranch, and then Enema of the State, and so people thought that Blink was releasing albums alphabetically. And so there was this big theory online that we were doing all this stuff, and we actually ended up incorporating that.
You ended up using it.
Yeah, we ended up using it. Because, and then on the live record, there was a famous Stars and Straps sticker on Travis's bass drum that had an F on it, so that was counted as the alphabetical F on that. And then when we released Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, we intentionally put a G on the cover.
Here's the deal about human beings. They take random events, mm-hmm. and they try to render meaning out of them.
Right.
That humans desire to know. That's all they do. They try to make sense of things. And more often than not, when they're paranoid, they make sense that's nonsense.
Right.
They just make order out of non-order.
Did we mess people up by doing that?
No. But it's so ridiculous that people do it and insist upon it. And you're trying to make music.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, though. I don't know. I think that all the... I don't know. There's lots of stuff like that that goes on that I find interesting, even though it's not true. Sorry, it's not true.
Kimberly, 22.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're great. What's going on there?
I was wondering if getting implants impairs the ability to detect breast cancer.
It affects it. It certainly does, but it doesn't prevent it.
How does it affect it?
Well, I don't read mammograms, but I know it can affect the accuracy of mammogram reading. But I don't think it's a big deal anymore. I think they pretty much, with ultrasounds and whatnot, can work around that.
Okay, and I actually have one more question.
Why? What's going on with you? What are you planning?
Well, no, I want to get implants, but my mom just died of breast cancer that she had for like 16 years.
Maybe you want to get a reconstruct. What? Maybe you want to get the genetic testing to make sure you don't have that BRCA gene and are at very high risk for breast cancer. Because if you are, when you get the implants, they can take out the breast tissue at the same time and just really put some implants in.
So like preventative
removal of mastectomy kind of thing.
Wow.
I'm not recommending that, but I'm saying something to think about since you're going to go to the knife anyway.
So would implants be a bad idea? maybe.
Not necessarily. I'm saying they might be a good idea because you might be able to take out the breast tissue that could be putting you at risk for cancer. This is EN14. Mark, this is a game called Germany or Florida.
I love Germany or Florida.
All right, let's hear the theme song, Anderson. David Alan Greer. Any of them. Here we are.
Is it Germany or Florida? Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
Big ending. Here we are. All right, Ian, Germany or Florida?
All right. First, can I say hi to my friend?
There you go. What's the near Florida?
All right. A 16-year-old student bit into a razor blade while eating a chicken sandwich he purchased at his school. Medical reports show that the boy was not injured. Investigators do not know how the razor got in the sandwich, as no razors are used in the manufacturing process. Germany or Florida?
There's a lot of razor talk around Halloween.
Yeah,
you ever
always.
That? When you were a kid, did you always get the, apples with razors in them and check the food before somebody put stuff in
it? But the strange thing was that it was only in apples.
Well, always apples.
Yeah, why couldn't they have put...
Baby Ruth bar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was only apples that it ever counted on.
Yeah. Have you ever met anybody that actually encountered a razor blade and an apple?
No.
Or a box of raisins?
It was probably actually propagated by kids that didn't want to eat the apples and they just want to eat the candy, so they make up this crazy excuse.
Yeah, don't give us apples.
Yeah.
All right, so what is it, Germany or Florida?
I'm going to go... Oh, wait. Are we weighing in?
Yeah.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say Florida.
Germany. Ian?
It's Florida.
Yes.
Like a pro.
Mark Hoppus, that's right.
Amazing. Killing me. All right, Ian, thanks.
All right, bye.
All right. Mark, they have lots of questions for you tonight. Let's get another one.
This is great.
Wendell 17.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello, Mark?
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, my God, finally.
Finally, you've been on hold for 4 minutes. What do you mean, finally?
Okay. Let me summarize this. I've liked
Please.
Mark since I was... No, I'm not gay. I've liked Blink since I was 10 because of Mark. Okay, point being, this is a big rumor that I've been wanting to solve.
Great.
Man Overboard is...
We're going to solve all Blink 182 rumors tonight.
Huh?
We're going to solve all the Blink 182 rumors tonight. Man Overboard, what?
Is it about Scott Rayner, yes or no?
No.
There you go. This is Damon 20.
Hi. I have had this problem for a couple of years where I'd always maintain an erection for a couple hours after I had sex.
Do you maintain an erection? Is it uncomfortable?
Yeah.
because you're still aroused and you want another round, or because it's just a painful erection that persists?
Well, sometimes it's painful, but, you know, sometimes I've also gone for, like, a couple rounds and it's still around.
Are you on medication?
You know what? Honestly, these are not problems.
It's your problem, too.
These
Mark.
Are not problems.
This is
problems.
Your problem, right?
Oh, I have lots of orgasms in a night. Oh, my boyfriend goes 4 times. Oh, I have an erection for 2 hours. I want people with actual problems. I want to feel good about myself. I'm leaving here humiliated and shamed my own self.
Brian, 20.
Hey, what's up?
We're good. What's going on there?
All right. My buddy used to be a heroin addict.
Used to be.
And he got on... They gave him a prescription called Buprenix. But right now, at first he was taking them like he's supposed to, but now he just crushes them up and shoots them up just like it was heroin.
Well, that's what happens with Buprenix. And most of my experience with Buprenix for anything other than opiate withdrawal has been catastrophes.
Really?
And people that use it long-term get strung out on it, abuse it, get going again. It's very close relative of heroin. It has what's called a partial antagonist effect, so it's hard to overdose on it and hard to get high on it, but believe me, addicts find ways to do it.
Yeah.
So your friend needs to be in a hospital and get detoxed.
But, I mean, is it in any way healthier than actually doing heroin?
No. In my experience, it's actually worse because the detox is worse.
Really?
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's an opiate. He's got to get in the hospital. He needs 6 months somewhere. He's in, baby. Brian, he's really seriously ill.
Yeah.
And he needs to get a detox, then go into a residential program, spend a few months focusing on this, because he's not going to live to see 30 if he doesn't.
All right.
All righty?
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Is having a fast metabolism get drugs out of your system faster as far as drug tests are concerned?
Not No, I can't say that.
Because let me tell you something. You always talk about weed stays in your system for 2 weeks.
Sometimes.
Or whatever, at the most. But yeah. I take drug tests once a week for probation, and I smoke weed like 5 days a week. Then I just take 2 days off, and I drink a bunch of water, and I pass my drug test every single time.
That can happen.
So, but you don't think that has anything to do with fast metabolism?
You know, it really, what is fast metabolism? What does that mean? You're the pot is metabolized.
Like, I eat food all the time, and I never gain weight.
You don't put down fat tissue, but that's different than how drugs are metabolized by your liver.
Okay.
That's a different phenomenon entirely. So
interesting.
You can't really say that. You know, when people ask me, am I going to pass a drug test, I have to tell them the worst case scenario, right?
Right.
So you're one of the best case scenarios.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, good times.
All right, thanks a lot, dude.
He'll get caught. Okay, Dakota is 18.
Hi. I've been a huge Blink fan and a big Loveline fan forever. You guys are both heroes.
Thank you.
Cool, Dakota. Where are you calling from?
Tucson, Arizona.
Cool. Oh, we're not cool.
How's Tucson?
Oh, it's really hot.
I was in Phoenix last week. It was 105.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have a friend named Brian that lives in Tucson. Do you know him?
Brian what?
Can I say last names on the radio?
If you don't,
actually Brian. He's our sound guy. He was Blink's sound guy when we toured. So he's.
I don't know. I thought I probably like would have tracked him down. I don't know. Yeah. Last time
Then I won't say the last name.
Yeah. Okay,
all right, what's up, Dakota? Here we go.
I was actually asking, what about Plus 44? Are you most looking forward to doing with it as far as creativity and stuff like that?
Just doing a bunch of different stuff. I mean, we've only just started the whole process of Plus 44, so it's really taking shape in a bunch of different ways. We have, like, ideas for 16 songs demoed out, and like I said, we're about to go into the studio, and it's very schizophrenic already. I don't really know what shape it's going to take, but it's going to be fascinating.
Something with Travis schizophrenic? You're kidding.
Well, there's all these different influences. I mean, we have, Travis has all these different beats, and we have all these different ideas, and we're working with our friend Carol, who plays guitar and sings, and our other friends are coming in and playing instruments as well. It's just it's kind of all over the place, but very inspiring to try these different things out, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. Excellent. You guys come back up here when you do that, please?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Mark, it's only been, let's see, today's Wednesday, Thursday. So it's been 7 years since we've seen you here on the show. It's all right.
Hey, I thought that we held the record. I thought I held the record for most times,
appearances,
except for...
Yeah, but you've been passed up by many people.
Really?
Oh, many.
All right. I'm taking up permanent residence.
Right, fair enough, when the new CD comes out. All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ryan. We're going to keep the pot topic going for right now. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Mark Hoppus, in for Adam Carolla.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Mark Hoppus, Blink 182. And we are going right back to the phones. We're keeping this marijuana topic alive. Joey, 25.
What's going on, man?
Hang on a second. Mark's got a...
I don't know how to turn this thing off.
A vibrating condom ring or C-ring or something that Ann gleefully brought into us.
Yeah, this...
That's it.
I have no idea how to turn this thing off.
You see, this thing pulls out right here. This little knob pulls out.
Back in.
You have to pull it out.
Oh, okay.
What's that, Joey?
I said, I hope she's still in there.
And no, she's a runaway.
No, it's just a bunch of dudes with vibrating penis rings.
and she ran away, huh?
Yeah. Joe, you sound like you've been through like three tours of duty in Iraq. You okay?
No, I'm definitely okay. I've just been on the road for a couple hours driving home.
Go ahead. What's up?
I had a question if, marijuana affects the male impotency or... long-term effects of that, if you've known of anything.
It will drop your sperm count while you're using, especially if you're using regularly and chronically.
I can fight that one.
It'll raise your estrogen levels. It can actually even give you breast development in some men, particularly around puberty age. But if you stop smoking, everything should go back to normal. So it's not as though I'm not aware of any evidence of chronic injury to your testicular function.
You can actually, it increases your estrogen levels, huh? Is there any way to counteract that, or?
Yeah, stop smoking pot.
Well, I mean, I'm a medicinal patient.
Yeah, Joey, I've never been requested pot by anyone other than a marijuana addict. So if you want to not have...
Do you live in California?
Yes. And if you want, and if you want to not have the deleterious effects of the drug, go ahead and. It's one of the most addictive drugs we deal with for some people.
Marijuana?
Oh, it's a horrible drug for people to give up.
It also increases my laying in the ground, curled up in a ball, thinking that people are talking about me through the walls.
Well, that's why you're not. You couldn't be a marijuana addict because people that become marijuana addicted love how they feel.
I definitely agree to that. Marijuana is the most addictive drug.
Yeah, well, for some people, not
all of them.
No, not for everybody, Joey. But I would tell you that people that. Let's say you were to go on to other things, pot would be the one that you would miss the most.
I feel like I'm left out of some joke or something because
you don't have the gene. You don't have that gene. And it's unfortunate, on some respects.
Like, everybody else is having fun and everything else, and I just, when I have tried to smoke pot before, it just really makes me paranoid in a bad, bad way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how you know you don't have that gene, because someone who's going to get addicted gets high, goofy a couple times, but the third time it's, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And that's all you think about from then after.
Hmm.
And use it every day, and it's a natural herb. It's good for you. It's medicinal. And you're in. That's it. And it's like heroin when it comes time to stop. It's very difficult to get people off it. Monique, 19.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey.
My question is, me and my boyfriend were trying to get, pregnant or whatever.
Why? You're 19? You're not married? What's the plan here?
Well, it's just, my family, especially, my mom, she just, asks for that, a lot.
You can't have a kid to make your mom happy. Your mom will be happy if you have a kid in 5 years, 10 years.
I never thought those words would be spoken on this show, but you're right.
But
one of the things we do leave out on this show, we are not culturally sensitive with Mr. Corolla going off about different ethnicities and things, but the reality is that... yes, in certain Hispanic populations, young girls are encouraged to get pregnant.
Yeah.
By the mom.
Yeah, I'm half Hispanic, half black, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just my mom expects it now.
But are you ready for it?
Not really, and sometimes, yeah. And, we've been trying to do it for a while now, and it's I don't know if it's him or me, but it's not working at all.
What do you mean a while?
Huh?
What do you mean a while?
I've been with him for 2 years, and for the past 2 months, we've been trying to. So,
well, you think you're gonna get pregnant instantly?
That's the thing. That's what's crazy. Is when I was growing up, so paranoid every time I had sex. Well, oh my God, did I get my girlfriend pregnant?
But that's the time it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
When people are actually trying, 6 months to a year would not be an unusual duration, Monique. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not necessarily something's gonna happen instantly.
Yeah. Well, it's. I don't know, because I know he's smoked, a lot of marijuana, so...
Monique, huh? 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah, I am.
You don't need to try to come up with explanations why it's taking you a normal period of time to get pregnant, all right?
Okay.
All right. And maybe God's intervening in this one to help us all out.
Yeah.
Shannon, 24.
Shannon!
Caller who goes by Shannon.
Hmm.
Take another Mark a question in the meantime. Chad, 15.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Chad.
Dr. Drew.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Mark. My question is for you.
Okay.
If you would consider, after, the Plus 44 album comes out, if you would consider touring with Tom and Angels and Airwaves.
I can't really.
I'm just wondering, yeah.
I don't know what the future holds. I 10 years ago, I never would have thought that I'd be sitting here with Dr. Drew talking to you.
Chad,
yeah.
It's been a moment that you have always thought, dreamt of, and here you are.
So, I don't, who knows what
Chad,
what the future
and Mark.
Holds.
And, can I just ask one more question?
Of course.
Shall I let you squirm out from under that easily?
Yeah.
You want to give us anything else?
What's your input with, Atticus?
I help with marketing. I help with Atticus, for those of you who don't know. How's that? How's that for radio knowledge?
Go.
Atticus Clothing, for those of you that don't know, is a clothing company that I am a partner in. My involvement with Atticus is with the design and the marketing, and we actually have people that run the business and the day-to-day things that are amazing at that. But
coincidentally, there's a website, www.atticusclothing.com.
Atticusclothing.com for your clothing needs.
Is there somebody on line 7 I'm supposed to be talking to? I see that. That usually means a VIP caller.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but let's keep moving here. This is Kristen, 21.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on there?
Hey, Mark. I just want to say hi to Mark and, you too, Dr. Drew. I have a weird question.
Okay.
I'm 8 months pregnant right now.
Yeah.
And I have been getting these really weird extreme.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if there was any correlation between being pregnant and having weird dreams.
Well, one of God's many, many, many jokes on humanity, particularly on men, is when a woman is in their last trimester of pregnancy, they get very horny and have all kinds of wild sexual fantasies that are sort of spontaneous and unusually intense, and it can be weird. It can be weird because you're on drugs when you're that far in your pregnancy. Your placenta is pumping so much hormones into your system that you're effectively on a drug. And you're very swollen and congested down there, making things more easily aroused, and away you go.
Okay, and I have a comment. Can I throw that out there?
If you stop breathing directly into the phone like that, you're making it freaking us out. What is it?
Mark, I just wanted to say that Blink was a great band, and I'm going to miss you.
Was a great band. Wait a minute. What do you mean?
What?
Was a great band. We don't know what the future holds. He just told us that.
We'll go with that.
Hiatus. It's open-ended.
Hiatus. Yeah. You guys are great and wonderful. I love everything you guys do. And, Mark, I hope you talk to Tom again sometime because you guys were the best.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know what? I would have seconded because you're both great. All three of you guys are great guys.
Thank
you. You know what I mean? It's rare that a band has just great guys and that everyone loves and whatever. So, you know, there you go.
Well, thank you.
So, this is Kenny, who's 21. Ken?
Hi, my question is for Mark.
Hi.
Imagine that.
Hi, Mark. I've met you numerous times, and I want to thank you completely for that, for,
cool.
for taking your time to talk to me. And
absolutely.
My question is in regards to, I relate to your songs so much, and it's hard to believe that anybody can write a song that I completely relate to, like to the fullest extent. And I want to know if what you write about is based on real life things.
Yeah, pretty much everything that we write about is based on things that happen to us or things that happen to our friends. And
How old were you when you started writing music?
I started writing songs.
Songs that we would still hear. How old were you?
I was probably like 20.
Which is that's what I imagine, because a lot of 20-year-olds relate to that stuff. It's very pertinent to any 20-year-old.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've always tried to write from the heart, things that happen to us, things that are important to us, and it's interesting because, you know, people say, like, your song affected us or affected me in a certain way, and it's strange to think that it's just as much a trip for me to think that something that we wrote affected people that we've never met before. And, you know, you go to countries around the world, and there's people in,
you know,
Japan.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the middle of the desert in a small town called Ridgecrest. It's
oh, my God, up near Inyo?
Yeah, near Inyo Kern.
Oh,
and
I got a speeding ticket out there once. I had to go drive back to go to court.
Oh, really?
Last speeding ticket I ever got.
Very sorry for you for that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there was one stoplight in town when I grew up, and when there was a second stoplight installed, the mayor came out and cut the tape, and there was a parade. And
well, I can see where you got your cultural influence. A very rich, romantic region of the country, of the world, really. And so very, very, very rich cultural influence. That's good.
Yeah.
And Tom, where'd he grow up?
I think San Diego.
So he had a life. And Travis?
And Travis grew up in the Inland Empire.
How did you guys meet?
My sister actually introduced Tom and I when I moved to San Diego to go to college.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Cal State San Marcos and Palomar. Is that what it's called? Palomar Junior College?
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Went Ooh. There. Here's the thing with me in college. I went to a couple years at Palomar, did great, got great grades, and then I transferred to Cal State San Marcos, and I was an English major. So I just started taking all these English classes, and at the end of, you know, my second year there, I was 4 years in college, I went and I talked to my counselor, and I said, hey, what happens with graduation? Am I supposed to, like, sign up for something? And the counselor pulled up my file and said, you're nowhere near graduation. You don't have any chemistry. You don't have any physical, you know, physical education stuff. I was 2 years short of my degree because I had taken so many English classes.
Wow, interesting.
So I was in college for 5 years, and I was still a sophomore.
And Travis, where'd you meet him?
Travis, we actually met...
clearly not in college.
He was actually touring with the Aquabats at the time. We met him on tour.
I forgot that. He was an Aquabat.
And we instantly became friends with Travis.
Was he all suited up like an Aquabat at the time?
He didn't suit up. No, he didn't wear the full suit. Yeah. I mean, he had the suit on, but he didn't wear the mask.
They had a heavy Christian bent, didn't they, back in the day?
Yeah, they were cool. I love the Aquabats. Those guys are so
rad.
They
were funny. They were smart,
such a great
too.
Band. And Powdered Toast Man. Yeah. It was all cool. It was so fun.
Well, why don't we listen to a Blink song?
We shall.
Let's do that. This song is called Not Now. Not now. Blink 182 on the 60 greatest hits, two unreleased songs. That's one of them. I'm here with Mark Hoppus, co-hosting with me tonight, and we will be right back after this.
Love Line will be right back.
Mark Hoppus from Blink 182. Again, Love Line phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. What kind of name is Hoppus?
Hoppus is actually my dad. It's funny you asked me this because my dad got really into genealogy over the past few years, and he's been researching the name Hoppus, and it comes from this valley in Switzerland. And my father actually traveled back to Switzerland last summer and found records and all kinds of stuff. So he traced our heritage back to the 1300s somehow.
Wow. Yeah. Does it have a meaning?
It actually does. It comes from this word. And
is it German?
I believe it is, yeah.
So it's German-Swiss.
Yeah. But it has something to do with, like, where these rivers come together and there was a hawk and a mountain or something like that. For real. And I'm sorry, Dad, that I don't remember the exact story. He's told me it, like, 10 times. But the name means, like, where the rivers come together and there's a hawk or something.
It sounds like Indian.
Yeah.
Weird. Sam, 16.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Hello.
Sam sounds kind of depressed.
No.
All right. Well, what's your question?
I don't know. It's like I love to give head. Like I was literally like I think it's kind of weird.
It is. I'll agree with you on that. Except you're freaking out, Mark.
Okay.
Why are you so freaked out about it?
No, because
you're jealous.
No, you know what? Honestly, it's just, and I feel like I'm dating myself when I say this, but these kids today. I mean, I honestly feel like that. When I was 16. It was a big deal if, like, a girl made out with a guy. And now, you know, you have girls calling up radio shows that are 16 saying, I love to give head. It's just a little hard for me to get my head around, you know?
Yeah.
Is there anything, Sam, we should know about you? Are you a trauma survivor?
Actually, yeah. Like, when I was little, I have two older brothers. And yeah. They used to, like, make me have sex with them when I was little.
And that's horrible.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Right? So this is some kind of, that's the reason we reacted to this kind of strangely. It's not a normal impulse for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
You know? So it really is something that you want to be treated for. Has anyone ever approached you about that? Does anyone in your family know about this?
No.
Why don't we tell your mom or dad?
Oh, I might. Just depends.
What does it depend on?
I don't know.
How about it depend on whether or not you want to have a reasonably pleasant life? Because these experiences have a profound effect on how you develop emotionally. And unless you get some help with that, it's going to be a never-ending life of you trying to get something out of males through indulging them in ways that are exploitative of yourself.
Yeah.
And denigrating.
Yeah, you definitely need to go find some help and talk to some people.
This is not a good path, John. I see the future, and it's grim. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason it has to be like that, okay?
I also have a comment. For
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
Like I was in fifth grade and my dad like surprised me with his tickets to a show here in Boise for Blink 182.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I saw you and like playing your bass or whatever, and then I started playing bass because of it.
Oh, cool.
And then like now I'm in a band.
Awesome. What's your band called?
Wake Up Dead.
There we go. Very, very uplifting. Uplifting.
Yeah.
Wake Up Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm glad that you're playing bass, and I'm stoked that you came to the show. I really think that you need to go and get some help and talk to some people and you know, find some help out there.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, maybe you can wake up alive. Yeah, it's funny how Sam sounded depressed from the moment she picked up the phone.
Yeah,
and then she has such an uplifting name for her band.
Right.
I hope she, you know, it makes me think that there's also some suicidality floating around in her head, too. So
yeah, please go talk to somebody, please.
Reinhardt, 24.
Hi.
Hi.
Here we go. Here we are. Let's break it down, Reinhardt. Come on. Here we go, buddy. Ready?
It's your turn to talk now.
It is.
Cool. So, when I was in high school, I was strung out on acid for about 3 or 4 years, and I was diagnosed bipolar about 2-3 years ago.
If anyone wants to know what they're going to sound like if they do a fair amount of acid, 30 or 40 hits acid, there's Reinhardt. That's what you're going to sound like.
Really?
Yeah, if you wonder, does it change you? Just I want you to introduce you to a couple people. Acid damages brain. It makes people depressed. It changes the personality structure. In fact, it's very funny. I was looking through some textbooks on this when I was I was a resident, and they were from the 70s, and they were basically going, well, you know, of course there's these personality changes. These people are clearly not the same as they were before, but they're happier now, and they seem very indifferent to all this. So anyway, it's a good thing. So here we go. It's like, what? You got to be kidding me.
Are there any drugs that people do that really don't have addictive qualities, that don't really leave people...
Yes.
Worse for the wear afterwards?
Yes. Opiates do not hurt your brain. That was why there was such a huge breakthrough. You could control brain without any real harm to it being done to you. They cause the worst addiction that you can possibly have. They change your life. They, you know, reorder how your brain functions, but they don't damage anything.
Right.
Cocaine, if you survive the use, you don't get a stroke, don't have a vascular problem, it maybe upsets the mood centers a little bit, but for the most part, leaves things pretty much alone.
Really?
Pot? Seems to, again, if you're not smoking under the age of 18 and you stop smoking, things tend to go back to normal.
Now, when I was, one of the other shows that I was on, I actually talked to you during one of the breaks, and I was asking you, because when I was growing up, I remember people saying that inhalants were like the worst drugs you could do, that they leave your brain afterwards.
That is true.
And I asked you about Whippets, thinking like, oh my God, I've really just destroyed myself when I was in
high
school.
Whippets are nitrous though, aren't they?
Yeah. And then you said, not so much.
Nitrous, not so much, yeah.
And
I'd love to scare you. I'd love to make you feel
really
bad.
I felt liberated after that. Like, I didn't really harm myself. And I was wishing that you would... afterwards, I found out that I wish you had told me that I destroyed myself.
Has he been doing Whippets ever since?
Because now it's like, I really don't know why I shouldn't go back to doing it.
Right, right. So, Reinhardt, you have a question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the acid use when I was in high school would... be the cause of having the bipolar?
It's hard to say which came first. Obviously, there was something going on that was motivating you to use the acid, but there's no doubt that LSD can cause mood disturbances of various types, typically depression, but I could see bipolarity being on that list of potential, at least bringing something out, making something worse for sure. LSD can do that. Mark Hoppus is joining me here tonight. The phone number at Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. And we're going to take a quick break. Mark Hoppus, Blink 182, Love Line, 1-800, there's your, what'd you call this?
Wiener Vibrator.
1-800-LOVE-191, this is sort of a condom ring vibrator combo that somebody sent us, strangely called vibrations.
It's a sponsor,
there you go.
They do a ton of advertising on the show.
Oh, really? Well, we're impressed with this little product called Vibrations.
It's definitely great for fidgeting while you do radio interviews.
If Corolla were here, he would go completely insane. Look, you can put it around the microphone. Isn't that nice? Okay.
Honey, I'm coming home.
Have you heard about this exciting new vibrating condom ring?
I see. That's what it is. Mark, you mentioned that you have OCD.
Yeah.
And that germaphobe.
Yeah, I'm actually getting a lot better. I used to be really bad about the germ thing, and my thought process is still such that I think about things that I shouldn't.
Probably a good thing, really. I mean, that's how most viruses are transmitted, is really on your hands.
Yeah, but I still get as sick as anybody does during the course of a year, you know?
Wait till your kid goes to school regularly, and then it's going to be big.
Yeah, that's what I hear. When your kids go to school, you just have a runny nose pretty much for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's amazing. I see parents from basically age 3 to age 8.
Yeah.
The kids are just constantly, parents are sick all winter long.
But yeah, I used to have a really bad germ thing, and I was actually on Adam's show.
Too late,
a few weeks ago. And during the commercial break, we were talking. I was drinking a glass of water, and then I put my glass of water down, but there was already glass there that was in the spot where I put my glass, and I realized I was actually drinking out of Adam's cup.
That is disgusting. Yeah. Oh, my God. I have to test you.
That really put an end to the germ thing for me, because I figure if I can be walking around after drinking out of Adam Carolla's glass, I'm pretty much good to, like, touch doorknobs and use silverware.
There you go. Here's Leticia, 17.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I was a virgin, like, 2 weeks ago, but then I had sex with my boyfriend, and now, like, for 2 weeks, like, this weird stuff's been coming out of me.
Ooh, I wonder if you're pregnant. Did you use birth control?
No, but we used condom.
Did it work properly? Everything hold
Wait,
up?
Wait, you didn't use birth control, but you used a condom?
Yeah.
Did the condom slip off or
no,
break or anything?
No, it seemed like everything went fine, and when I left, I mean, everything seemed okay, and it just, like... Like, when I go to the bathroom and stuff, like, weird stuff would be on my underwear, and I didn't know what it was.
For how long afterwards?
2 weeks.
Like, 2 weeks?
Yeah. It's hard to understand how you would get an STD if you're wearing a condom. Yeah. It's also hard to imagine how you could get pregnant if the condom had worked properly.
That's why I'm not sure why it's happening.
Sometimes it can just be a yeast infection, just introducing smoke alarm.
Right.
Do you hear that little beep in the background?
No,
We have to wait about 20 seconds. I want you to hear this.
Okay.
There's a smoke, you know, smoke alarms when they...
Oh, yeah, the batteries are dying?
They chirp at you.
Yeah.
So in about 10 seconds here, just...
Yeah, can I...
Hey, in the interest of fire safety, after we finish this phone call, please replace the battery in your smoke alarm.
Shh, here we go.
Can I say one more thing?
Nothing for a second.
Can I say one more thing?
Tisha, you can't hear the smoke alarm if you're saying one more thing. What do you want to say?
That I'm in love with Blink-182, and
there it was. I heard the beep.
All right, Lizzie, I want you to take the phone over by the smoke detector. I want you to stand there. You taking it over there? Please, if you love Blink-182, you'll do this for Mark.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm in front of it.
Okay, and then about another 30 seconds, so it'll go again. It could just be a yeast infection just from introducing something new into the vagina. So you might want to try some over-the-counter yeast medication, okay?
Okay.
For Stearns. Hold on. Hold on. Leticia, quiet. There it goes.
One ping only?
How long has that thing been chirping away at you?
Excuse me?
How long has that thing been chirping at you?
I'm not sure.
Where is it? Where are you now? Where are you standing?
In front of it, the
I get that.
Thing?
Yes, but what room are you in?
I'm in my room.
So this thing's been going off in your room for God only knows how long? How do you sleep at night?
I think about Mark, and I have pleasant dreams.
You live through a smoke detector.
Yeah, thinking about
there it is
him.
Again.
There it is again. You got to change that thing.
Will you please put the 4-volt, what is it, 9-volt battery?
9-volt battery.
Please?
I will.
It's funny, but it's not. You've been living with something in your room.
That would drive me crazy. I've only been on the phone. How long have we been on the phone? 2 minutes, and I'm already annoyed by it.
Any human would be driven to distraction by that. And by the way, the reason it's chirping, right? You know why it's chirping?
Why?
Because the battery's dead, and you desperately need to change the battery in case, God forbid, there's a fire, smoke in the room. You need to... Be alarmed.
And God forbid you're...
There it is again!
God forbid
telling you, for the love of God change the battery.
Your central nervous...
I die a happy woman, I don't care.
And God forbid your central nervous system begins functioning again, and if it does and you wake up from your coma, this will drive you insane. Okay? Okay. All right. It happens all the time in the show. People call in, their smoke detector's going off the background. It drives us crazy listening to it. At 20 yards distance,
yeah.
Across the here, Anderson's chirping it for us.
Maybe it's the battery here in the studio.
No, he's doing it. He's doing it. There it is. Okay, let's see. Let's get a call from Danielle, who's 19.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
What's going on there?
I had a question about, I know that you guys have just talked about breast enhancement, or getting your breast done. Yeah. I'm 19, and I've heard things where, you know, getting them at, like, 18, 19 would be a bad idea because it could propose a problem if you haven't fully developed, if you're still growing. And
breastfeeding, too.
Right.
All right.
Well, I've already had my daughter.
Right.
But if I ever decided to have children later on, propose a problem.
I don't know how serious a problem. I mean, you can get... They're cosmetic issues. You can get involutional changes of pregnancy and get sort of things sagging on top of the implant. I don't know if it precludes... It might preclude you from being able to breastfeed.
I don't think so.
Don't think so?
I don't think so.
Any?
I have no medical reason to say that at all. I'm just guessing. Okay. I'm a dude. What do I know?
Well, if you have any, because I don't have any direct knowledge of this. I remember asking about this one time for plastic surgeon and him bringing up some issues, but I don't think it precluded breastfeeding.
It doesn't, when they put in implants, don't they put the actual boob behind the plastic?
Yeah, it depends where they put it, right?
Right.
They can't put it out of the muscle and whatnot. So some of that can be taken into consideration based on where they put the implant, okay?
Oh, and also I've heard from other people, which I don't know if they know what they're talking about or not, but you have to get them redone every 10 years.
That often happens. You need to realize when you get breast implants, you're usually signing up for a series of procedures. It's not you get them in and that's it for the rest of your life. You're usually having revisions and scars and improvements and things.
Women have to go through so much.
It's a process. And Danielle, you're 19. You sound like you're 43. What's going on in your life?
Oh, I'm sick.
You're sick. Well,
I'm sick.
Well, I'm afraid that doesn't fully explain what I'm hearing. You sound like you've been through a couple tours of duty somewhere.
Pardon me?
You're 19. You already have a child, and you sound like you've been, a nurse in Vietnam. what's going on?
Oh no. I had my daughter at 18, and
what do you do for a living now?
Doing a lot of just waitressing stuff, and that's about it.
All right.
Women have to go through so much. I don't know why they'd go through the surgery of breast implants especially after childbirth. I mean, if you go through childbirth, I would be done with all medical procedures after that.
Don't you
that.
Think if a man had to have a child, there would be no further propagation of the species?
Yeah.
That'd be it.
It's rough. My hat's off to you ladies because I couldn't do it.
Eric, 21.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling because I've got a pretty bad problem. I mean, every long-term relationship I've been in, I've cheated on them. I mean, like, I need to know, is this something, I mean, it's compulsive. I mean, I try not to, and I mean, I can't stop. But it's like, I mean,
give us more detail.
No, this is the part where you come in and you're like, I know exactly what happened. This happened to you. And then they're like, that's right.
Well, hold on. I need to find out what the deal is. How many long-term relationships have you had?
I've had two, and I'm in one that's currently been going on for about a year and a half.
This is number three or this is number two?
This is number three.
And so on each of those, you terminate the relationship by cheating.
Basically, I either get caught or, I mean, I just stop. I just fall out of touch.
You got to stop getting caught.
Oh, well, I've only been caught once.
Okay.
Why are you gay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like how we just went with it. That was cool.
Well, that's what I'm picking up on. Well, that's sort of if you go stand in front of the sort of the section of the bookstore for gay and lesbians, and you'll see most of that is populated with how to deal with cheating boyfriends and how to try to have a relationship when you have difficulty and you're compulsively, you know what I'm saying? That's right. A really common problem in the gay community is staying in a stable monogamous relationship. Some of it is that you're men, you know what I mean? And if men running amok, there's just tons of opportunity and it's hard to contain that. Some of it is that sexual abuse is a common heritage, common history in people who are gay. Is that something you have?
Not really, no.
What do you mean, not really?
I mean, I don't really. Well, I was kind of, but I don't really consider myself to be abused. I mean, I was.
What happened?
Fondled like three times by an uncle, but I mean, other than that, I wouldn't really call that.
It wasn't overt sexual abuse.
It wasn't overt, no.
Yeah. All right, so we don't have that to sort of go on with you, because that's another reason people get compulsively sexual and, you know, have trouble in being in stable relationships. And then finally, are there other issues in your past that make it difficult to be intimate and stay intimate?
I think maybe intimate as far as, like, you know, emotionally, I think I have pretty much issues with that. And
from where is that coming from? Where'd that get started?
Pretty much being rejected by my dad. I mean, that's a huge issue. But
all right,
there you go. This is what you do. I listen to the show and Dr. Drew.
So being close to a man, which you're gay, so it's going to be a man.
Right.
And being close is a very treacherous place for you. It carries with it the probability of rejection. So naturally enough, a way to avoid that is to you first sabotage the relationship or be the rejecter yourself. One of the amazing things about humans and trauma, aside from the fact that they reenact it over and over and over again, is that when you have a trauma, oftentimes you either become the perpetrator or the victim. You play both roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you become the one that gets left or the one that does the leaving. In your case, you're busy doing the leaving to make sure that you don't become the one that gets left. What's going to happen, you're really going to fall deeply for some guy, and that guy's going to leave. So you got, you need, why don't you get a little therapy about this, Eric? You seem smart, and you sort of understand what's going on here.
Right.
You have a healthy goal. You want to have a stable monogamous relationship. That's wonderful. Right. You're not going to have that with all that that S flying around your head.
But at least you know. That's cool. I mean, at least you know that, like, you want to be with somebody, and that's cool.
All righty?
Cool. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right.
That's what we call born gay. I mean, he's gay. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's him. That's who he is, and he needs to figure out how to have monogamy. And, you know, all of his issues, of course, are with dad because...
Are there other gays?
There's people that are created, made gay.
You really?
Know, people are, when male sexual abuse on males helps sort of bring that out. But either way you get there, it's a deep wiring, and it's there. It's
right.
It. And you ain't going to change that. I was looking at Newsweek or something. They're talking about trying to change guys. This doesn't work.
People are who they are.
People are who they are. It's like trying to change your sexual preferences in terms of what you find attractive.
Right.
I mean, imagine that. We're gonna talk you out of what you were into.
Right.
Possible? No.
No.
Not possible.
But it's cool. At least he knows that he wants to be in a relationship. And good luck to you, my friend.
This is now
Godspeed. Be gay.
Karen 19. You and I have shared a moment.
Yes. See? We got our hair washed together. I can empathize with you. I got my hair washed next to Dr. Drew.
Karen.
Hello?
Caller who goes by Karen, he's 19.
Hello?
There you are.
Hey!
Here we go.
Hi, sorry, it's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Oh, okay. Karen, 19.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great. I'm holding a wiener vibrator, and I'm talking on the radio.
I was listening a couple of weeks ago, and you guys were talking about The Keeper.
Yeah?
Well, I went online, and I looked at it, because I was just interested. I've never heard of it before. And something else came up called the soft cup.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
I'm left out. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I guess it doesn't have, like, the stem or something. It looks kind of like a diaphragm.
Yeah, they're basically cups that hold your spillage
in
there.
What is this?
For your period. It's way not an alternative to cotton.
Gross.
For your period.
Yeah. What it was saying, though, was that you would be able to have sex with it in. Like normal.
Hey, sex during the period? Come on.
There'd be no blood.
We don't need these joke calls, okay? Serious calls only. Hey.
I was just wondering, I've never heard a lot about it, and it didn't have any kind of downfall on the website. Why is it not popular?
Because you're on your period.
Well, no, it's...
Try it. Maybe here you go, Karen. I want you to do something for me.
Okay.
I want you to get it, try it, and call me back and tell us is it something about it that makes it unpopular?
So this is a cup that you wear while you're having sex while you're on your
period? No, it's not.
It's inside. So you can't feel it.
It's just
I
bet you feel it.
So what, it stops probably. Your period while you're hanging
just
out?
Yeah, it holds your period kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Karen loves freaking you out. Go ahead, Karen, freak him out some more.
Pardon? Freak him out some
freak, more? Yeah, he just talks more about your period. It'll make him...
Well, then you have to, like, wash it out or...
Oh, man.
Kind of questionable. And I can understand how that wouldn't be pleasant. But
come on,
just
it's natural.
I know it's natural. I know it's natural. It's part of God's great scheme, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It creates life. It's why women can have babies, and the species continues, and it's still just not something I want to know about or even acknowledge.
Karen, do me a favor. You sound great. Please get one. Call us back. Let us know how
it
works.
Hey, have a party. It's
okay,
great.
For sure.
All right. Thanks,
okay,
Karen.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye. Hey, Anderson, I would like to hear David Alan Greer vomiting just to make Mark feel good. A little more. Oh, you know what? I have to do. Adam.
Oh,
what?
Oh, I see it on a computer screen in the background of your studio.
The cup
looks so rotten. Oh man.
Yeah, there it is with the stem on it and everything.
Oh,
it looks like a big plunger, doesn't it?
If my wife is listening, I ain't never coming home.
You know, I have to do Adam's that show you did with him on Monday, and he's going to have me read out of the physician's desk reference the names of medication, because David Alan Greer was in here one night, and I was talking to a woman about the morning after pill and what kinds of birth control products you can use as a morning after pill, And David Agrio converted every one of the names I was saying of these medications into the name of African-American children and acting it out as the big mom yelling at the kids to stop their fooling around here. Anders, can we get a little bit of that?
100 micrograms of ethanol estradiol, it's the progesterone. It's the levonorgestrel.
And where is levonorgestrel?
Or the norethindrone.
No, they're just... Put that wiffle ball bat down. Come in the house. Get your behind. I'm sick of these kids, man.
Funny. So we're gonna relive that moment for Adam's pleasure, and he's gonna do that on his show. So anyway, here we go. Let's get some more Mark Hoppus calls. Sarah, 17.
Hi. I have a question for Mark.
Hi.
Hey, Marcus. I was just wondering what to expect on the DVD that's coming out with the Greatest Hits CD.
The Greatest Hits DVD, to be honest, it's going to have all your favorite songs from Blink-182 in the video format and oh, so not much more. I don't know exactly. I think it's all the videos for all the songs that we have videos for. And I know that they were talking about putting backstage footage and scenes from tour. We actually had our friend Estevan follow us around for about 6 months with a camera. I don't know if that's coming out on this DVD or if they're saving that for later. I'm getting motions from the other side of the glass saying later. This one is just the videos, am I correct? This one is all your favorite Blink-182 songs in the video format for your DVD pleasure. You have such hits as Damn It, All the Small Things, What's My Age Again, and The Rock Show.
I'm sorry, I didn't mention that it's coming out on November 1st. Do we have the next song lined up? We don't. Okay, so maybe the next break we'll get another song from the Greatest Hits CD.
Yes, indeed.
This now is Taylor 15.
Yeah, I have a question for Mark.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how you got involved with your music, your bass.
I actually, when I was in high school, a friend of mine gave me a cassette of The Cure's album. And it was the first time that I'd heard that. And at the same time, I got the Descendants' I Don't Want to Grow Up album. And those two CDs kind of changed my life. CDs. Back then it was cassettes.
Were you a bass player already? Or
No. I liked music and I grew up listening to music and my parents always had music playing in the background, but I never really felt like music spoke to me until I listened to The Descendants and The Cure. And I got inspired by music I was just drawn to the bass guitar. I always thought it was cool and started playing bass and learning how to play songs of bands that I liked, and that's kind of where it all started.
Simon Gallup, right?
Yeah, Simon Gallup. Who knew that?
It's Anderson.
That's exactly right. You know,
Descendants?
Simon Gallup was bass player for The Cure.
Cure.
And still is, actually, now again. He was out for a couple years, but he was back.
I started playing bass.
I know so much about The Cure. I could go on forever.
Brian, 24. Lore.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. How
Brian,
you doing?
Dr. Drew. Hey, Matt. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. Sorry to interrupt you guys, but... my wife is 5 months pregnant with my son. Actually, I have a daughter who is 18 months old. And I have a question considering my brother-in-law's gay.
Right.
And I'm not against gays at all. I don't want your callers thinking I'm trying to bash gays or have a problem with gays, but I worry about my son being gay. If
Brian's cool.
My brother-in-law around, you know, I care about him a lot. He's a cool guy. I have nothing wrong with him or his man or what do you want to say, but... It just kind of freaks me out, you know. I kind of worry, you know, if my son could he become gay because he knows my brother-in-law or he hangs out with my brother-in-law or...
No.
Well, let me tell you, there's two types, according to Dr. Drew. There's born gay, and then there's, what's the other one?
Made gay. Made in the field.
Okay. And,
The only way I would be concerned about your brother-in-law is if he had been sexually abused himself, in which case there's about a 60% chance that he could be a perpetrator in spite of himself. And you might want to kind of keep an eye on him if that were the case. But it still isn't something that's transmitted to children, nor is it have any kind of familial sort of pattern to it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he's been sexually abused. Actually, I can vouch he's not been sexually abused.
All right, well, there you go. Then relax, yeah, Brian. Relax. Then you just relax. Let your brother-in-law be your brother-in-law. Relax. Relax.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It's cool. It's going to be okay.
Max, 16.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, buddy.
So I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yep.
I called a little while back. I had a germ here in Florida about a guy who got in trouble for having a sex doll. I thought he was like a corpse.
Remember right.
Max yep. from San Jose. Yeah. I had the question about the polyurethane and the other and the latex condoms. The difference between the two.
Yes.
Well, because I've been using polyurethane condoms because I don't like latex because I have like sort of an allergic thing to latex.
Good. You're not sexually active.
Yeah, I am.
Nah.
Unfortunately, I am.
Unfortunately, you are.
For the rest of society besides me.
Huh. All right, what's your question?
No, but I'm practicing safe sex. Drew.
What's your question?
I used a polyurethane condom, yeah. And I was having sex with my new girlfriend, and she had like a yeast infection down there, but I got like an infection like on the back of like my head. So
what the hell, Max? What, you're like making stuff up as you go here.
No.
These things don't even make sense.
Okay, listen. When I was having sex with my girlfriend, I had a polyurethane condom on.
Right, polyurethane condom will protect you against STDs virtually as well. Has not been as tested as well, but looks as though it's virtually as good as a latex condom. Maybe not quite, but good enough. And you're not going to get yeast infections. Are really not STDs, so it has nothing to do with anything. And whatever you got on the head of your penis is something from an irritation from the condom.
Oh. Well, I thought it was a yeast because I asked my doctor and she said it looked like a yeast or it could have been something. I don't know. But she said it was.
Well, if you were yeast, are you uncircumcised?
No, I am circumcised.
Yeah, I don't know. If you got the yeast there, it's not from having sex with your girlfriend. You can get yeast in your skin. But
then I had
how could you get it? You haven't been exposed to it. And what it makes you need to, if indeed you are having sex, you need to stop now. Because you don't really understand what you're dealing with here. What's the other question?
They make condoms out of skateboard wheels now?
What's your other question?
For Mark about Blink-182.
Yeah.
I've been hearing like that you guys broke up.
No, he just went to great lengths to tell you about the future. There's open possibilities in the future. We don't know what the future may hold for Blink.
Yeah, we're just taking time off right now. It's a good, healthy thing. Travis and I have a project called Plus 44 that we're very excited about going in the studio and recording. And that's really what we're focusing on right now.
All right, it's Mark Hoppus, Blink-182. The phone number at Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew, and we will be right back.
Dude, you got issues.
Call Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Line. That's right. I'm dropping trowel. Is that right, Anderson?
He's
is that
not
the song
here.
I drop?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that not here.
I'm just saying
it's the song you drop trowel to, isn't it?
It's like when the teacher's gone, we have a substitute, and we all talk about the teacher and imitate the teacher. It's bad.
It's bad. Okay.
Yeah, right. I don't want to think about him right now. You know?
Okay, good.
That's definitely the drop trowel song.
Think good thoughts.
That's why I played it tonight.
Blink-182, 1-800-LOVE-191, Mark Hoppus in the studio. There it is. We're dropping trowel. And Meg on the line. She is 23. Meg?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, Meg?
Well, I have a question. I have, my family has a history, the males in my family have a history of being sex addicts. And over the past few years, I've had some of my family members, my sister in particular, she thinks that my behavior is similar to theirs. Mm. Whereas most of my friends are like, no, you're just very active person in their early 20s. But I'm starting to get concerned that maybe I might be.
Who in their early 20s is not a sex addict?
Well, it's though, you got to ask yourself a couple questions. Are you having consequences from your sexual activity? Is it troubling you?
Well, sometimes. Like, okay. I have an ex-boyfriend that I haven't been able to stop sleeping with for the past 6 months. And I don't know.
That's pretty normal, right?
Yeah, that's kind of normal stuff.
Because same with me. Ex-boyfriend, 6 months.
What else? I told you we wouldn't talk about this on the air.
Well, while I've been sleeping with my ex-boyfriend, I'm always protected. I'm very, very safe about the sex that I've had. I've never had an STD or anything like that. But nice. I've had 8 partners just in the past like 8 months. Hmm. And whereas most people are like, oh, you know, that's normal for a 23-year-old that goes out and has fun. I've been starting to get more interested in a lot of other things like bondage and stuff like that. And
uh-oh.
I honestly
That's so cool.
We're getting going here.
No, it's fun. All right,
so the first thing is the consequences. Is it troubling to you? Or do you want to stop, sort of, the questions? Secondly, do you have a history of sexual abuse?
No, I've never.
Do you have a history of physical abuse?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you're an abuse survivor, which puts you at risk for various kinds of addiction. Mm-hmm. Is there a family history of alcoholism or chemical addictions?
Chemical addiction and alcoholism, yeah.
All right, so you're adding up to sex addiction. That's sort of the recipe for sexual addiction, is physical or sexual abuse, genetics of alcoholism, and off you go. Now, the other way to get to where you are is through bipolar disorder.
There's no history of bipolar in my family, and I'm not bipolar.
Okay, so it's probably more in the addiction realm. Addiction is a progressive process. It goes from milder states to more severe and advanced states, and it sounds like you're picking up a little steam.
That's what getting worries me is the more I get of it, it's almost like the first time I did coke. I can't get enough of it, and the more I do it, the more I want it. And then
the more arousal you need, and the more bizarre things you need to do to get the same level of sort of satisfaction out of it. And that's it. That's addiction. And the more you do that, the more you feel sort of ashamed and hidden about it, and weirder, and feel bad about yourself. Yeah, it makes you do more of it.
Well, I don't ever feel bad after it. That's the thing, though, is every time I've ever done a drug and felt bad, I just, after I have sex, I feel good. But then, like, the next day, I'm like, oh, I want more.
All right. Well, you know, you can continue down this path and see where it takes you, or you can do something about it.
What do you do about something like that?
Well, there are therapists that specialize in this sort of thing, and there is always the 12-step programs for this. There are people with your story, rooms full of them at the SA meetings.
But here's my question. If she's using protection every time and she has no guilt about it, is there, obviously.
I think she sees where this is going.
Yeah. Where does it go?
Well, it's going to get, go ahead.
It never leads to a relationship. I haven't had a serious relationship in 5 years. My boyfriend that I told you I can't stop sleeping with, like, we dated off and on for like a year, but it was never a commitment. I don't make commitments. I don't settle down with guys. I just kind of.
And the other thing is, this is part of there's I'm sure going to be chemical addictions in and around all this too, alcohol, stimulants, pot, whatever, and one of those is going to take hold as well as you start to sort of spiral into all this. And you can either wait till that happens and then do something, or you can do something now.
Although, if you're self-aware enough to call and ask about this, then you're probably self-aware enough to know that you need to go talk to somebody, I guess. Is that the deal?
Well,
I don't know these things.
But you need people who specialize in treatment of addiction, because it really is a very, very specialized need that you have there, Megan. I actually would first suggest you go to an SA 12-step meeting and then ask around for therapists that people have used that they've had success with.
Do you think a 12-step program should be in order at this point? I mean, I don't know.
It's up to you. I can only tell you that it is in order, but it takes a lot of motivation to go do something like that. And most people don't or aren't motivated to do that until they really have some things happen to them. It's too gratifying now. You like it too much. It does too much for you. It has not enough negative yet for you really to get in and make it better. So you can go down that path. It's gonna be rocky. Trust me. It's about another 5 years. You're gonna be. It's not gonna be pretty.
Where does it end up?
She's gonna be unhappy by herself. Probably alcoholic and doing lots of weird stuff with lots of weird guys and eventually feeling bad about it.
Right.
She'll feel very bad about it. But we'll see. Austin, 15.
Hello.
Hey, Austin. What's going on?
Hey, man. What's up? Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, man. What's up?
Oh, just hanging out in a room with a bunch of dudes talking to you.
Dude, only for you do I sit there.
I don't think so.
You just blew it, big boy. Sorry about that. Why would he? It's just a bizarre question when you're live on the radio. Amy, 22.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm great.
Amy?
Hi. Actually, can I ask Mark a quick question?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
Just don't use the F word like Austin.
No F words, please.
I won't. I knew you were or are somewhat affiliated with the Nervous Eternity, and you toured with them.
Yes, we did.
And I know the girl called earlier said her band was named Wake Up Dead.
Yes, I made that connection as well.
Yeah.
What was that?
Wake Up Dead is actually the name of a Nervous Return. Is it the name of the album or is it the name of a song? Yeah, it's the name of a song. Hey, by the way, shameless plug for my friends in the Nervous Return. They are actually finishing up their next album right now, and I've heard a few songs, and it's great.
Right now, actually.
What? I'm sorry. Huh?
They're actually on tour right now.
Yes, they are.
And have you heard their new material at all?
Yeah, I have. I heard a few songs, and it's great. It's really, really good. I'm a huge fan of the Nervous Return, so I can't wait till it's out.
Amazing.
amazing.
What's up with Amy?
What's up, Amy?
Hi. I have a strange question. My son was adopted in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, and I'm not sure what the normal length for PPD is.
What's that?
PPD?
Postpartum depression.
Oh, okay.
I have not been able to maintain a romantic relationship, nor have I had any kind of sex drive whatsoever. So,
how old was the child when given up for adoption?
He was a baby. It was newborn.
Okay. So, first of all, I hope you share this with me, Mark, that we want to congratulate Amy for doing something very courageous on behalf of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was kind of a forced decision.
Forced decision? How's that work?
My mother called an attorney, and the attorney kind of forced my boyfriend and I to make that decision.
Wow. Well, it's a good one for the child. There are a lot of people that are really ready to raise children in this country. And
yeah.
22, you know, I couldn't have raised a raccoon.
Yeah.
I assume most 22-year-olds can't. So, and you may have had a postpartum depression, certainly 12 months. Any depression for the 12 months after delivery is considered a postpartum depression. And just having had a child can affect your sex drive. Women typically for the first year do not have much of a sex drive at all.
That's true. It's true.
Sometimes going on birth control pills will help kickstart things. Sometimes some
testosterone. Well, I'm not really like looking for sex, but I...
No, I understand, but you asked about it, and so we'll address
ruin,
it.
Fully. Yeah, but I pretty much tend to like ruin any kind of relationship that comes along.
Well, and maybe some of that is just adaptive to try to prevent the possibility of getting into that feeling of grief and loss that undoubtedly you had in relation to that adopted child.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot to go through for sure. It's not, I'm sure it's not out of the question to be depressed for a while after going through something like that.
You're depressed and to not want to be in a circumstance where that could possibly happen again.
Of course not. Of course I'm not looking for that to happen.
Yeah.
But I think the problem is I feel that, like, in hopes of not getting over, but in hopes of kind of, you know, pushing through it, that, you know, a relationship would...
I think that's the right attitude to have.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I think you keep pushing forward, and I think this will kind of take care of itself. If it doesn't, if you have trouble functioning, if you really can't have a relationship, if you're having thoughts of suicide or having trouble, you know, going to work, that kind of thing, or not sleeping, feeling anxiety attacks, please, you can go ahead and look at some help.
Yeah.
That's a treatable condition. On that note,
that's
how about
so much to go through. I mean,
I know.
So much to go through.
But you know what?
It's
God bless her. I mean, the child is much better off on behalf of it. And it's, you know,
I mean, just being pregnant is so much to go through.
Is it incredible?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then what happens afterwards, after you've been on those tremendous hormones and the one that your body suddenly lets down from that,
yeah,
it changes you for a while.
For sure.
Postpartum depression is a common and intensely biological process. But on that happy note, why don't we hear Blink song?
Yeah, please.
Hey, oh, good, Mark. Why don't we do that? This song is called I Miss You.
Like indecision to call you, and hear your voice up trees on. Will you come home and stop this pain tonight? Stop this pain tonight. Don't waste your time on me.
Mark Hoppus in here with me tonight, Blink 182. That is I Miss You, and Mark and I will return in just a moment.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Right, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Mark Hopp is joining me in the studio. And Mark,
hi.
You just brought up off the air a few seconds ago before we came to the mics here, before they heated up, that he enjoyed Adam's and my discussion about hobo power.
Yeah.
And that just to recapitulate what we discussed was that we were discussing someone's stinky...
Yeah, someone's lady didn't smell so good down there.
And we were trying to measure it out or sort of get a sense of it in terms of hobo power.
Yeah.
Now, there's all kinds of units of measurement out there. There's, you know, horsepower, and there's units of energy and joules and dynes and all kinds of stuff. But there's no units of smell.
Yeah.
Of stench. Really, mm-hmm. Of stench. And so Adam and I invented something called hobo power. And basically the scale is, you know, 10 hobo powers, you know, rough. 50 hobo power, you barf.
Right.
100 hobo power... only a theoretic possibility. Somebody actually achieves 100 hobo power, it could be the universe could collapse,
yeah,
and float
on itself.
Yeah,
it's the speed of light.
Yeah, right, it's the speed of light, exactly. It's only a theoretic possibility. So please feel free to use hobo power in the future. My kids use it.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my sons gleefully announce they've had 30 hobo power farts. Oh, yeah, it's great. 12-year-old humor. All right, here's another call for Mark. Trisha, 25.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
Just had a really quick question. Do you have any plans to go kind of back into the studio and do kind of more production work like you did for Motion City Soundtrack?
Yeah, I love producing, and I'm actually supposed to go into the studio this weekend and do pre-production with a band called The Matches that I'm excited to work with, and I'm going to produce a couple songs for them, and there's a bunch of other stuff that I have coming up. I love producing. I love being in the studio and the whole creative process, so definitely.
Tommy, 15.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Oh, girl Tommy.
Hey, Mark.
Wow.
Hi, how are you?
I just want to thank you for being, like, my hero. I play bass because of you, and like what you do, like, with the clothing line. I want to have my own clothing line, too.
Is Tommy really your name, or is it just a Blink reference?
It's really my name.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Cool.
And I also want to say that I had missed a show that Blink was playing, and I actually missed it, so I wonder if there's any way that you could, like, make it up, like an autograph or something.
Sure. If someone off the air can get her address or whatever, I'll send an autograph.
We need to send Tommy on line 4 an autograph. Mark wants to do that, okay? This is Gloria 20. Gloria.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good. What's up?
Are you mad about the Germany or Florida thing earlier and you're calling to complain?
No. Nothing like that. Actually, I have a question.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about bipolar disorder a little while ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm supposedly, and I say supposedly because I don't think I am, I'm supposedly diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Well, it's not for you to determine. Did you have a psychiatrist evaluate? Okay, then you're bipolar disorder.
Okay. But then again, I also did, I guess it's wrong of me to stop taking my medications to see if whether or not I was really bipolar.
Well, good times.
Because I don't feel like I am.
Okay. Well, what's your question?
Well, my parents forced me to go at 14 years. And
at age 14?
At age 14. So,
that's when you were put on meds?
That's when I started taking medication.
Okay.
So I don't understand why I don't feel like I'm bipolar, yet I have to be taking medication and...
Well, there is some evidence that if you suppress some of the violent swings of mood, you know, bipolar is about going from very, very high highs, manic episodes, to very, very low lows. That's a sort of an oversimplification, but that's basically what happens. And I've seen some research that suggests if you suppress those swings early, they may not be as bad later on in life.
Okay.
Or you may even suppress the whole process. And so it's something that somewhere between age 18 and 22, where if those swings really get going, then you are stuck with that the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
So they may have done you a favor, and maybe they have dodged a bullet in some respect. Maybe this will be something that will become an issue later.
But when when you're 13 to 15, 16...
It's hard to make a diagnosis of anything.
It is. It's very hard to make a diagnosis. That's why I question it all the time, because of the fact that, yes, it runs in the family, but... Are you sure that that was the reason why I was acting out at 14? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't...
Yeah, it's all reasonable questions.
Kind of count.
No, I thought you were going to tell me that you've been put on medications recently and you were now questioning it. But no, this is a reasonable thing. But
actually, the recent medication that I've been taking haven't been working.
But Gloria, here's the deal. It's a serious enough question that, an expert, let's say you were a psychiatrist.
Right.
You would still go get evaluated by another professional.
Okay.
And get their opinion as to what you should do. You shouldn't be managing this on your own. So it's a serious
disorder.
You know
why it's hard? It's hard because I'm a psych major.
Well, listen,
I try to evaluate myself.
If you were a psychiatrist with 20 years of experience, the last thing you would do is evaluate yourself.
Right.
You can't do that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can't be objective about a subjective state. So go get evaluated. Let them decide.
Can
work
even
with that person. And make sure it's somebody you trust and feel good about and communicate with. And... go check it out.
If you were a psychiatrist,
I have a psychiatrist for 10 years now, and it's the same.
Maybe you want another opinion because you're having trouble believing or trusting this person. What's that, Mark?
Can even a psychiatrist diagnose him or herself?
You shouldn't. I mean, you can suspect what's going on. You can go and say, "Hey, I'm having these symptoms. I'm worried. I've got this going on." But you would never treat yourself. It's the worst thing you can possibly do. It never works out. Priscilla, 15.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi, I have phobias and anxiety disorder. And
nice. So does Mark.
Hey, me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, I get
panic. He washes his hands all the time. He doesn't like to fly anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I freak out on airplanes because I just think of how dirty the airplane bathrooms are.
I won't even
hold your urine
airplane.
The whole way across the states.
No, but honestly, when I use the restroom in an airplane, I make sure I'm very conscious of which hand I'm like touching handles with.
I wish you could see the disgust on his face. Yeah.
I travel with the hand sanitizer stuff, and I'm always, like I said, very careful to not use the hand that I touch the door with or anything.
Nice.
It's not really a germ phobia. Like, I'm afraid of bridges, movie theaters, subways, trains.
Oh, boy. So you're
very transportation based.
Well, it sounds...
being far away from home, even.
It sounds like agoraphobia, sort of. Fear of open spaces.
So I'm in therapy right now.
Good.
And I've only gone, like, 3 times.
Okay.
I don't really see it going anywhere.
Takes a long time. Do not expect to see any improvement. It will happen, like, snail's pace. It's what it takes. You're changing your brain's function.
It takes
a long time.
If I were going to go in and have someone talk to me about germs in the outside world, like what would baby steps?
I'll tell you after the break.
Okay, cool.
If you need help,
call Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191.
Thank you. That about does it for Loveline. Thank you, Mark Hoppus, for coming in here.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you will come back soon. It's been altogether too long. You held the record for most frequent visitor at Loveline.
I shall return.
And you just sort of trashed the whole thing.
We just played Bakersfield. Yeah. We just played Bakersfield.
What was the other? How's that go?
I have a really big dick.
That's
nice.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We started with that. We'll finish with that. So, again, the CD is coming out November 1st. He's also got the new project with Travis, Plus 44. And when you guys put the CD out from that, or finish the CD at least, come on in here. We'll talk about that.
Definitely.
But I hope you'll come in before that, too. So,
surely.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Loveline, I'm Dr. Drew, and we will take a little extendo break. And on behalf of Adam Carolla, I will tell you, mahalo.
I have a really big dick.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.